Well, today is a very special day, as Pastor Trina preached my message already, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he lives, because he rose from the dead. We have hope. But there would be no resurrection to celebrate had Jesus not submitted himself, as she said, to the cross. They didn't take Jesus' life. He gave it. So if he hadn't done that, we'd have no hope. And she also said, now we all eventually die. It's appointed unto man, what? Wants to die. And then the judgment. But the crazy thing about Jesus, the unique thing about Jesus, is that he was literally born to die. How would you like that? You eventually die, and we fight tooth and nail to avoid it. How would you like to be born with your main purpose being to die? Not just any old death. How would you like that? And if somebody was born, they are the actual instrumentation for your deliverance. Would you not be grateful? Yes. And wouldn't you show it at least full on one day out of the year? If your car was about to get stolen and somebody stopped the thief, you'd show real gratitude and everybody around would be able to tell. If your child was about to get hit by a car and somebody came and grabbed them and they didn't get hit, everybody around would know. And it wouldn't be a polite golfer's clap. Right. Everybody would know. Yes. So we just have to be real. We don't really actually get it. We heard about it, we read about it, we talk about it, but we don't really get it. If the sacrifice and what it means to you was real every day, we would be different every day. Now, can you be that intense every single day? No, but for one day you could. For one day you could. We'll give you grace for some of the rest of the year, but for one day you could. People don't watch football, but they get down on Super Bowl Sunday, don't they? Spend money, take up time. So for one day, we ought to give God some praise. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! 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 Somebody wants him to pay their bills. Somebody wants to find a house. Somebody needs a job. Somebody needs some extra money. Can you stand up and give God some praise? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for what you did for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Show the passion of the Christ. Maybe we need to do that. Maybe we need to actually have us all visualize what he went through. Maybe that would move us. Maybe that would make it real. Maybe that would make us do more than a golfer's clap. Well, the golfers don't clap. They're rocking and rolling. It's the folks on the sidelines that are not between the ropes, that are not in the game. But even the guys on the sidelines in a basketball game, when somebody does a great play, when it's going well, they don't do this. They get down on the floor and wave their towels and let their brothers know that they're excited. If he hadn't submitted, we would have no hope.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you.
And he was born to die for one reason, because God loves us that much. Now, I know the capacity for God to love, but how much capacity do we have to love him back? Oh, I know you can love some women. Oh, I know you can love some men. I get that. I see the evidence of that, by the way. I see decisions. God sees decisions that you make in your life because you love somebody. But can you really love Jesus? And how can people tell? Can they tell by our decisions? Will we actually disappoint some folks because they want us to do something that would take us away from God? Because we will disappoint folks when we want to be with who we want to be with. We do what we actually want to do. We do what makes our heart beat the fastest. We do those things that our flesh can get into. But if you really have God in your life, then your spirit wants something. Is your life a life where people can see what your spirit wants? The answer is yes. The problem is what the answer is sometimes. We're trying to figure out a way, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of this flesh, to actually be grateful, to actually appreciate what he did for us. Today, we're going to try to deepen that appreciation for what the Father did for us. He gave his Son. And for what Jesus went through by looking at the Old Testament. Are you willing to do that? For you to really maybe one or two people might really get into this. But to really understand how much we should appreciate this, we have to get outside of our own little box, our Christian, English-speaking, United States pampered box, where what we are here for today is just something we heard about and read about. And we say we embrace. You've got to get an actual Jewish perspective to actually understand how big a deal it is. Now, you may say, well, the Jews, they don't believe in Jesus. Well, what if you are a Jew and you believe in Jesus? Now, you're really rocking and rolling, because you really understand what it's about. We don't know anything else. We didn't have Judaism that we love so much that we had to be torn away from, that you had to really believe and you had to be ostracized from all of your family. We never had to do that, because we came here, almost all of us, on a ship. We had no choice. We were indoctrinated. We inherited Christianity. And we embraced it to the extent that we loved and appreciated and respected those that came before us and poured into us. We have an advantage. We take Christianity for granted. So you have to get into a Jewish frame of mind to really, truly appreciate what this really means. Amen?
Amen.
And in order to do that, we're going to the beautiful book of what? Leviticus. You're going to appreciate some Leviticus before I'm through. But I thought it was just a bunch of rules and regulations and, you know, on and on and droning on and on. Well, I guess, are we learning? Is that all it is? Our text will be found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. And we're going to be focusing on verses 20 through 22, if you want to mark it. We'll swing by verse 26. And then also verse 29 and 30. That's Leviticus 16, 20 through 22. Also verse 26. And then verses 29 and 30. After all of the various, if you read through Leviticus, it's do this, do that, do it this way, do it to that one, do this first, then do that. And there's all these instructions on how to worship God in the temple. All of the detailed sacrificial instructions up to that point. And today's text is going to focus on the portion as we get to chapter 16, where God is establishing the fact that this high priest, the highest of all, you can only go behind this veil one day per year. Now, what we would have covered last week, but we got some beautiful Philippians, was the fact that Aaron's, and Sister Carmen really breaks down this Aaron thing. It's like this, he was a fool sure enough, right? And yet God chose through his line to make all the priesthood. Isn't that something? I mean, we know how he threw people under the bus, made stuff up, tried to duck and dodge responsibility, and yet God chose his lineage, right? And so his boys, two of his boys, decided to give God what they felt like giving, hear me now, instead of what God asked for and deserved. Two of his boys gave God what they felt like giving instead of what God asked for and deserved. You ever give God what you felt like giving instead of what he asked for and deserved? You ever give God what you felt like giving instead of what he asked for and deserved? You ever give God what you felt like giving instead of what he asked for and deserved? Well, what did you get for that? You got to keep on breathing. But they didn't. He consumed them with fire on the spot. And the next thing that God said, and this is how you have the inference as to what they did wrong, he says, you know what? You can't drink no alcohol when you're up in here. Did you know that? You didn't realize that, huh? You just thought that they were just bad little kids. No, they were intoxicated. You didn't know why it's so important for you not to take in substances that throw off your judgment, because sometimes your judgment ends in death. But we think we can get away with stuff, right? Because we have gotten away with stuff. And sometimes your intoxicant is a person. Come on now. Sometimes your drug is a person. Sometimes the thing that gets you to do stuff, to have poor judgment and to do stuff you shouldn't do and not do stuff that you should do, is a person. I know I'm preaching right about now. Amen. So they die. So here's the point. God had made his point, and now he has their attention. Oh, what you say, God? How you want me to do it again? And so now what he's saying is, and so there's no surprise that he's saying this after we got out of line and he showed us how serious this thing is. Worshiping God matters. We're just so used to it. We've had it since we've ever known. And so we take it for granted. So we can kind of, or we can be cool with it. Because we've never really felt like our life was in jeopardy. Our eternal life. We're trying to understand why we should appreciate it so much so then we can actually appear to be appreciative to people and to God. Amen?
Amen.
So after all of this sacrificial instruction, it's time to understand that I know you're the high priest, I made you that, but you're going to only come behind this veil one day out of the year. Just one day. And that's where God dwelled. So you're going to worship me, and you're going to do all the things that allow the people to at least have a tether of a connection to me. But you're only going to actually come into my actual presence one day out of the year. He's establishing three things. Number one, that you will go behind the veil one day out of the year. You only get to do it one day out of the year. Two, you have to do it one day out of the year. And when you do it, you got to come correct. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to die. What if he came to you like that? Would you come correct? Or would you give him any old thing you feel like giving him? You want a job, right? We like to have jobs, right? Because we like the money, right? And we like the dignity that goes with it. Do you come correct with the people that give you that job? Uh-oh, got quiet. If they told you you were not going to have that job, if you didn't come correct, guess what? Newsflash. Sometimes we'll even lose a job because we refuse to come correct. Is there any surprise that we don't always take care of God's business? Ananias and Sapphira said, oh, I sold this property. Here's the proceeds. Well, you don't know it's not all the proceeds, but I know, and God knows. Guess what? Bam, dead, right? Just like that. But when you let things slide, sometimes people get used to that. So in this particular context, God has shown himself recently. So you really, he has your ear. And he says, you only get to do this once a year. I don't want to see you the rest of the year. And you better do it. Or else their sense was the rest of the year they would be cursed if they didn't do this. And you had to come what? Correct. Let's look at chapter 16, verses 29 and 30. We're starting at the end. I want you to read it for me. It starts out, and this shall be a statute forever unto you. Keep reading. Seventh month, 10th day. Amen. I'm going to read that again. And this shall be a statute forever unto you. You have to keep doing this every single year. That in the seventh month, not any old day, you feel like it. The month of Tishrei in the Hebrew. And on the seventh day, the eighth day, the 11th day, the 20th day, the 10th day. I need you here on this day at this time. Can you handle that? The 7th month, the 10th day of the month. Here is what you will do. You will what? Afflict your soul. So I want you here on a certain time. And what's your job? To afflict your soul. To afflict your souls and to do no work at all. Now, does that sound contradictory to us? Afflicting my soul sounds bad. Doing no work sounds good. But here's the thing. It was totally different for them. They didn't have jobs where they got paid if they didn't work. If you didn't handle your business in the field, you didn't have what you needed to eat or to sell. So people wanted to work. That's why they wanted to grab the manna on Sunday. That's why they worked the land on Sundays when they weren't supposed to. That's why they worked the land in the Sabbath year when they weren't supposed to. That's why they had to go to Babylon. That's one of the reasons. Because the land deserved its Sabbaths. It was going to get all them 70 Sabbaths back. So he says, you're not going to do any work, whether it be your own country or even if somebody was visiting, nobody works here on the seventh month, on the 10th day of every single year. And what are you supposed to be doing? Afflicting your souls. Because, for on that day shall the priest make atonement for you. Pastor Trina said, we now get to go straight to God. But the priest had to do all these things, all these very specific rituals. First of all, they had to kill some animals and do some stuff so that they were even justified in going in. They had to first get that sin off of them because they were raunchy sometimes. And then they had to handle the business for the people. And while they're handling the business for you, Your job is to afflict your soul and not to be doing these other things. Doing no work. And nobody in your household should be doing any work. Because on that day, the priests shall make an atonement. You're in jail. And you're about to go down with a bad sentence. And somebody is in there arguing your case. If that really happened to you, you might be willing to praise God if you got off. Make an atonement for you to cleanse you. You have to believe you're dirty to be happy about being cleansed. Do you really believe you were dirty? That you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. So this was a special sacrifice that they had to make for the people's sin. And if they did not do this, you went into the new year actually feeling cursed and feeling that you're completely out of connection, out of good standing with God. They didn't want that. Remember what happened to the two boys, to the two priests. Remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. If you knew that God handled business like that, you wouldn't want to be on his bad side. So you might not want to work that day. You might want to be afflicting your soul, amen, on that day. So I told you we need to think Jewish. I hope you're thinking Jewish. Shabbat Shalom. I think you should. I really want you to be thinking Jewish. Here's what happens. This is the afflicting your souls. We say that, but guess what? If you're not Jewish, I just said it, and you don't even know what I'm talking about. You read it, you don't even know what they're talking about. Afflicting your souls. That's all it says. And you read past that. Do you know what you're reading? Most of the time, the answer is no. That's why you don't really understand and appreciate. Afflicting your souls. Let's talk about afflicting your souls. While the priests were performing all of the prescribed rituals, the people spent that day confessing their sins, repenting desperately of their sins. We get to have it easy. They were begging, please don't curse me this year. This is what the people were doing, praying, asking for forgiveness. Even to this day. Do you anybody work with any Jews? Most of you, raise your hand if you work with some Jews. Okay. Even to this day, on this particular, the seventh month of Tishrei, this is in their civil calendar, the seventh month, on the 10th day, you will not find them at work. This year will be September 19th. It's the lunar calendar. Okay? So the seventh month is in the ecclesiastical calendar. They actually have their own civil calendar, so their new year is actually in about September. But here's the point. On September 19th, check and see how many Jews show up at work. Even, my point is, to this day. See, if you're Jewish, your mind didn't, you carry that same Jewishness all the way from Leviticus. So if you're Jewish, you have a frame of mind to much better understand why we should appreciate this so much. So they skip, even to this day, they skip work. Did you know that they do not eat and they do not drink? Did you know that they do not bathe? Afflicting your soul, praying, asking for forgiveness, begging to be okay, begging to be forgiven. No bathing, no lotions, no perfumes, no work, no wearing leather shoes. Some won't wear anything that's made from an animal. Some won't wear any gold because it's a reminder of the calf. They're trying the best they can to get sin off of them because they live constantly with the sense of sin on them. Remember, they had to do all of these sacrifices day after day after day, constantly reminded. We get the benefit of thinking we're all right. But if you were reminded day after day after day after day, then you have that sense of guilt. And you don't want to carry that thing into the next year with you. Amen?
Amen.
So this is what's happening on this particular day. Even, I'm talking about today, most secular Jews who are not even into the religion of the Jews will not show up for work. And the synagogues are filled to the brim and overflowing, and the money rolls in. Did you know that they're so full that some synagogues sell tickets? They sell the seats. Why? Because that's the only way you can guarantee to have a seat. This is how serious, what am I trying to tell you? This is how serious the Jewish mind, even a secular Jew, even a Jew that's just a Goldblum and Goldberg and Feidelberg and Cohen, they're not into it. But on this day, they're serious about it. It's so serious that even those that said, well, you know what? Look, I'm not just secular. I ain't even into it. God, I'm an atheist. I'm not into it. Even if they go that far, you know what? It's considered in that culture impolite to eat in public. Did you know it's impolite to drive a car? This is how serious this is. It's considered impolite to play music. Why? Out of respect for those who are handling that business. Out of respect for those who are making the sacrifice. I'm not down with it. But out of respect for those who will, you handle yourself a certain way. It used to be that way when you went off and got an education and bettered yourself and came back to the neighborhood. You know what, man? I know I'm messing up my, you know, big ups to you, man. Won't nobody mess with you. Don't mess with that guy. He trying to become something. Now? I mean, there was a time in the 80s you came back with a little rolling with something, they take it from you. Queen Latifah found that out. So my point is, the Jewishness, even in the person, the ones who are totally not into it, they get into it at least enough to show respect for those who are really into it. I'm trying to get you into a Jewish frame of mind because it's that ingrained so that you actually understand. Maybe you're not hearing it. I'm giving you my best, though. So this day, this holiday, what's the name of it? Yom Kippur. So when you hear that word, now you know what it means. Yom Kippur. The day of atonement, the day that I get my slate wiped clean, the day that I get all this mess off of me, the day that I beg God and he finally says yes, the day that I get to finally be reassured that he is with me. I'm gonna handle my business on that day. I know I made some messes here and there, but I'm gonna handle my business on that day. On Yom Kippur, on that holy day, I'm going to do my part because I believe that it matters. Now, this Yom Kippur, this is the Day of Atonement. Again, September 19th, check your calendars. Comes a different time every year because of the lunar calendar. It is bookended with another holy day or holiday called Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year. It's the day that they choose to commemorate when the universe was created, or depending on who you talk to, when Adam and Eve were created. That's their new year. And there's 10 days separating Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Those are the high holy days. They spend 10 days bringing in Okay, great, it's a new year, but you know how I celebrate that new year? By focusing for 10 days on doing everything that I can to make that 10th day matter. And so they ask for forgiveness from God. They ask for forgiveness from people. They're going around doing all these good deeds. They go around and act different for 10 days at least, so that they can finally have something that they believe matters to God on the day that he makes a decision about your coming year. You got to get into this frame of mind to really appreciate what Jesus did for us, what God did for us, what he went through, why it matters. Is this not a very different frame of mind from us? Oh, no, we got grace. Oh, you good? Oh, okay, I accept him as my personal savior. Boom, done, good. Right? Why are you trying so hard? Why are you worried about what God think of you? He loves you. He made you. He did all this for you. So you know you're good, like some spoiled little brat. Why you care? Why you worried? How about I care? Is it all right if I care? If my God is pleased with me, is it all right if I care that I broke his heart a couple times? Is it all right if I care? Is that all right? Well, he's your daddy. He's going to take care of you. Is it all right if I care how much I burden him? Is it all right if I care if his heart is broken? Is it all right if I care that the more sin I do, the more burden I put onto what Jesus had to do for me? Is it all right if I care? Does it make me not accepting of the work that he did? Absolutely not. It actually means I accepted more. If all you talk about is grace, then what you got to talk about on Sunday? Oh, it's already done, so it don't matter what I do. Guess what? We already married, so it don't matter how I act. I already got the job. I'm already in the union. I already passed probation, so it don't matter what I do. How do we act when we don't have that stuff? Woo, we come correct, don't we? See? That's why when Jesus, on that day, I never knew you. You work as a man. I never knew you, but I did all the, never knew you. This is important what I'm trying to tell you, because folks are going to hell, because folks are preaching. You ain't got to care. But the Bible said it would be that way. Read the book of Revelation, first three chapters. Church of Laodicea. Match it up to what we have now. Just match it up. You see if there's any other church, any other time, any other one of those descriptions that matches today's church. This ain't no martyrdom church. This ain't no church that's chasing false preachers out. This ain't none of those churches. This is a church that's got it going on, just like the world, and don't know the difference. Can't even tell we're wicked. We're too good at what we do. But anyway, this day Yom Kippur was the culmination. It wasn't just a day. It was a culmination of, Lord, I need you. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't even come to talk to you myself. I got to have this priest do this, but I'm going to stand around. I'm going to afflict myself. I'm not going to do any work. I'm going to be begging and hoping and pleading and hoping that all the little good deeds that I did melt your heart for me. All this repentance and good deeds and charitable acts, all trying to get into God's good graces. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
But here's the thing. This need to do all this, the requirement literally to do all this, repeatedly being reminded of your shortcomings, constantly being reminded you're not good enough, constantly being made to feel guilty. See, that's not what we're talking about when we're saying we're trying to live for Christ and to die is gain. That's not what we're talking about when we say we care enough about God to act like we care about God. We're not talking about walking around all huddled over, beaten down with guilt, because that's what Jesus died to eliminate.
Amen.
But unless you got that thing on you every day, constantly, every year, over and over again, you don't know what it feels like to have it lifted. if you do, it's a day to celebrate. You kick up your heels. You ain't going to do no little golf clap. But you got to think the way the Jews thought. So you had Jews in Jesus' day that were used to doing all this stuff. And the Pharisees say, you got to wash this way. You got to pay to wash, by the way. And you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. Why did simple? Because they put on burdens that could never be born. They took Leviticus and put more on it. Made it nearly impossible for you to do it. Jesus died to stop that cycle. Jesus died so you didn't have to live like that. But you got to live like that to know what it's like not to have to live like that. We've never lived like that. But somebody in here has been in a household, in a family, in a situation, in a relationship where all you heard was bad things about yourself. All you heard was put down. All you heard was what you couldn't do. All you heard was what you are not. All you heard was what you cannot become. All you heard was that what you're not worth. And finally, you got out. And you found out that what you thought about yourself, what they convinced you about yourself, was wrong. Oh, my God. That's the thing that they were hoping would never happen, by the way. That's why they shackled you in your mind to keep your body from going out. They weren't worried about your body. They were worried about your mind. When you realize, oh, my God, I am worth something. Oh, my God, I am beautiful. Oh, my God, God didn't make a mistake. Oh, my God, you have to be in prison to know what it's like to be free. We haven't done any time. But when you go into prison, you come out a felon. You come out with disadvantages. Instead, Jesus took that away so we get a clean slate. Hallelujah. You gotta know. Who in here has ever filed bankruptcy? I filed bankruptcy. You know what it's like to get out from under who, however you got there. However you got there. You get a clean slate. But guess what? They put it on your credit record. And they remind you every time you try to get something. Oh, in the last 10 years, have you? Oh, man. Guess what? Interest rate's going to be higher for you. We don't trust you. Jesus died. So you got an 800 plus credit score all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. So you get to go and share that with people. This is how I got it. And here is why I got it like that. Are you hearing me? Amen. But you got to be a Jew, or you got to think like one at least, to understand what it really meant to have the veil torn. We say, oh, well, he was up there taking the last breath. And the veil was torn asunder from top to bottom. Not only did it mean that you now can go straight to God, but it meant all of that guilt, all of that doing the same thing over and over and over again, all those ritual, constant reminders. See, it means something more to them than it does to us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there's one last thing. I hope you got that point. I hope I said it enough ways to touch wherever you needed to be touched. I want you to know one more important thing that we need to understand that will help us hopefully increase our appreciation level for what Jesus did. Let's go to verse 20. That's chapter 16, verse 20. It says, and when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy places, we're talking about the high priest, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Part of all of the ritual sacrifices that happened as the priests sacrifice for themselves, including the high priest, and then they sacrifice for the people, they had to bring two goats. And they cast lots. One goat got to die, one goat got to live. Which one do you think had it better off? Trust me, the one that got to die. There were two goats. So one got to die. You might think, have to die. I'm telling you, got to die. A sacrificial kind of a death, which was quick, although bloody. So it says here that the high priest was to bring the live goat. This goat was left alive for a reason. And it says in verse 21, read it with me. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat.
And confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And all their transgressions. Yes. And all their sins.
Mm-hmm.
Putting them upon the head of the goat. And shall send him away by the hands of a wicked man into the wilderness.
Mm. Keep reading. What you think about that goat situation now? So he put his hands on the goat's head and he confessed all the sins that you've done, all the sins that you've done that people know about and the ones they don't know about, all the sins that you've done, all the sins that I've committed. And he laid hands on the goat and put all your mess and my mess on that goat. And he didn't get to die a death that's nice and ritualistic and near the altar and have a dignified death. No, he got taken away out into the wilderness like my father used to have us take our dogs when he was done with them and let them go. The wilderness is a desert, by the way. Very inhospitable. Left there to die what kind of death? Lonely, slow, tortuous, painful. My friend had died a couple years ago. That's how they ended up letting him die. They starved and didn't feed him and barely gave him fluids. That's how he died. And she still talks about it and how she doesn't want anybody to go through that. This is what they did when they put all of the sins of the people on this goat. This goat did nothing, by the way. This goat was innocent. He didn't even get to die the way the rest of them did. They got taken out into the desert in a place that actually Jews believe that there's an evil spirit to just wander there until they died a slow, painful, lonely. We're just going to put you outside, far away, because we care about our sins, right? So we don't care about the fact that you're going to be lonely and dying and painful. I just want my sin off of me. Are you listening to me? Amen. Let's read verse 26 real quick. It says, and he that read it for me.
And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water and afterwards come into the camp.
You notice a word there that we use? You now know where it comes from? Uh-huh. You had some scapegoats in your life? You know, I did. I did the wrong, but I'm going to put it off on you. You're going to become the scapegoat. Oh, I knew all the way at the top. I'm the CEO. I told him to do that at Wells Fargo. I told him to do that because that's how we're going to make all this money. We're going to cheat the people, but we're going to have some vice president be the scapegoat. We're going to have some frontline person be the scapegoat. We're going to blame them and let them go do the time. And I'm just going to take all my millions and get a golden parachute and move on and be the CEO somewhere else. Somebody that's innocent or that wasn't fully responsible gets to pay the price for my mess. Scapegoat. So once you take that scapegoat out, now you got to cleanse yourself because he ain't even bloody, but just the dirtiness of the sin. The association, the dirtiness by association. He needed to cleanse himself before he came back. So Jesus is indeed the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the whole wide world. Just like the lamb that had to be killed for the Passover so that the death angel would not get the people. But he wasn't just a lamb. He was also our scapegoat. He was also our scapegoat. All of that mess, all of our mess. While he was up there, you're thinking about the nails, you're thinking about the blood, how hard it is for him to breathe. All of that, he was taking on all of our sins. All that heaviness. Outside the city, by the way, Golgotha's Hill. He can't be inside the city. He had to be killed outside the city. Not good enough to be inside the city. Taking on all of our burdens. All on him. So he wasn't just the Lamb of God, the innocent Lamb of God. He was also our scapegoat. All of our mess was on him. So I hope that this helps us to remember and appreciate the big deal that it is what Jesus did for us. It is not just some perfunctory thing that we can look back on. If you can look at it like a Jew looks at it, you might give at least one day. You might shout from the rooftop at least one day. Hallelujah. At least one day. Pastor Trina said he didn't even know me. Guess what? Well, he knew you. But it's like he didn't know you. You were so far in the future, and yet he did it for you. He didn't just take the sins of Adam and Eve and everybody before him. He took your sins before you ever even did them. Hallelujah. 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 Hopefully we can appreciate what he went through, how he went through it, why he went through it, and for whom he went through it. And you should be able to tell who he went through it for by their actions. By their clap, by their singing, by their decisions, by their actions, by their priorities. And as a result of this appreciation, this makes his resurrection, his glorious resurrection, even sweeter. Even sweeter. When you know what he went through and why he went through it, when he rises up, woo, we can party. Because we understand why it's such a big deal. But now that he's alive, he's now on his throne, just like she said, where he belongs, what he deserves. While he's on that throne, he deserves for us to be rocking and rolling as if he's special. All days, but at least one day. Yeah, he's on his throne, being who he deserves to be, where he will remain forever.